All right, stick around after the interview. I mean, after the closing. I'm really good at this. I'm great, just so y'all know.
After the interview. Geez, you got me doing it now.
Yes, after the closing jingle. Jason Aldean.
Listen to the whole thing, and he'll be at the end there.
Jingle time.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Very flowery.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their minds. So they have an extra one.
You don't like that one, Carson?
It's not.
And that's how we get the podcast. The podcast. The podcast.
I'm just trying to get my coffee. Shut up.
Boy, that's a tough one there, bud.
Yeah, that's a... Well, we got it out of the way.
You don't have any choice. That's just a...
It's random. Completely, totally random. We don't know the genre of the podcast theme from week to week. Kelly Sutton is here with us.
Hi.
Yeah, we never know. It's always a surprise.
It's pretty good, though. Do you like that?
So sometimes it could be death metal. Sometimes it could be death metal polka. I mean, or that.
You know what, though? That just set the tone. Like, this is going to be fun flowery, right?
We can only go up from there.
For all I know, that girl has a record label.
She probably
deal. She just signed, and
her dad funds it though.
Oh, wow. God, boy, you hear all the rumors. You hear the rumors about, well, you know, the only reason that is because her dad bought $500,000 worth of albums.
Maybe.
And it made it pop. It's so sketch.
It's my favorite thing to get on Google and trace where people's parents and grandparents were in the industry, because inevitably they have some.
There is a lot of that, like the whole nepotism thing. And it's not just in acting and TV and all that. It is in music as well.
No, it's also the world.
Yeah.
It is straight up the world.
Yeah. I mean, my dad, I am kind of a nepo baby, because my dad plays music in Hanover, Indiana on Thursday nights. So just to let everybody, I'm just going to come clean and let everybody know. Okay. Like,
at the supper club?
No, it's at his house, but he invites people over. And it's like the Sutton music hour now. So,
Is that what he did for a living?
No, he built houses.
A contractor?
Yeah. Sutton Builders. I thought my name was Sutton Builders, Kelly Sutton Builders, for a long time, because that's how we answered the phone.
Sutton Builders.
Yeah. Sutton Builders. So.
It's like a hyphenated name.
Yeah.
Now, I was
very British.
Was your house, did it always have stuff that needed fixing?
For sure. 100%. Still does.
Isn't that
still
weird? Does. It's like the people who do that don't do it at their own place.
He was busy. He had other things to do.
It's the last thing he wants to do when he goes home is to fix things.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
What'd your mom do?
My mom is still working full time. She is an activities coordinator at a living facility. So
she's Julie from the Love Boat.
She's a party planner for rich old people. Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
That's what she does. It's a thing. They go,
I like that job.
Listen, I'm telling you, this is the gig. She goes out, takes them to wine tastings, or we're going to go out shopping this weekend, or, you know, today we're playing bingo. I don't know. It's always something fun. But yeah,
I think I could get into bingo.
Yeah,
it's easy to make fun of it.
It is exhilarating. When
I used to call bingo.
You did?
Yeah, I had the big hopper, and we would turn.
Is that what that's called?
Yeah, it's a
hopper. I didn't even know what that was called.
Yeah, I had the hopper, and we'd turn it, and you pull out a number. Well, you didn't have to pull it out, because ours was like super highfalutin. You hit the little button, and it would drop a ball down, and you pick it up, and you go in 40, and then all the old people go. Because the number 40.
Like farty?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, they all do it.
When he told me that story, too, I was like, I don't get it.
I don't get it at all.
Yeah, because you're not 80.
I thought they were just mad that they didn't have 40 on their bingo card.
I thought they were just old and having problems. So I wasn't really sure.
They were. I mean, it depends. But boom.
Oh,
boy.
All
right. Never trust a shark.
This was the podcast.
Kelly, did you know? Did you know that the product that he just referenced, what do you call it?
Depends?
Nope.
Is it depend?
Yes, yep. There is no S.
There's no S?
Nope.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Oh, is this a Berenstain Bears kind of thing?
Yes,
I think
it is.
It's the most.
Oh, God. What is that called?
Berenstain Bears kind of thing?
No.
Mandela effect.
I almost said the Manuela effect.
I'm like a guy who was in prison.
Right?
I saw a commercial
That's
one
crazy.
Day.
I
like
they're
I watch a lot of shows where they advertise on. And it comes on and it
Target
says
demo.
And try some today with Depend. And I was like, how do they leave the S off that? It was a bad edit. Or they, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I start looking it up. No, it's Depend. The product is called Depend. It's not Depends. There's no S.
But that feels like it would just be one in a package. Just one. Single.
Depends.
Singular.
Depend. I mean, we did a whole thing on the air about it. Depend.
That's so crazy.
Diet underwear. Okay. Underwear. It's not diapers.
I thought you were going to say diet underwear.
Yep. But here it is. Depend. I'm looking at it. The actual package of it just says Depend.
You're looking at your package?
Man, those things really mess with me because, like, the Berenstain Bears,
Which one is it for you?
I always thought it was Berenstain, the Berenstain Bears.
I thought so, too.
And it's not, right? It's
no, you're right. It's
Am I right?
Berenstain.
Everyone thought it was Berenstain.
I thought it was Berenstain. There was a theme song. There was a cartoon. And they said, there are four of us Berenstain Bears. Mother,
really?
Father, sister, and brother. And I'm like, I know it says Berenstain. I look it up on YouTube. No, it says Berenstain because there's a glitch in my matrix.
Yeah, we shifted timelines somewhere.
Oh, it's so, yeah. I don't know, man. I blame Harambe. I don't know.
Honestly, I saw a big mural for Harambe the other day. I was so
excited. Your anniversary this week.
I was in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina last week at my buddy Craig's. Shout out to Craig. What's up?
What's up, Craig?
But yeah, I was at his place and we passed the Harambe thing.
I'm that where it happened? No.
Happened in Cincinnati.
Yeah, but they had a giant Harambe mural.
Are you sure it was
thing.
Harambe and not just another monkey?
No, it said rest in power or something or other. Harambe.
No,
his name was all in bubble letters.
My favorite was when Queen Elizabeth passed and somebody had Queen Elizabeth in the sky next to Harambe overlooking a football game. It was Alabama or Texas.
Of course it was.
I was like, this might be my new screensaver.
It's pretty awesome.
How did he die again?
A kid got into
it. Some kid went in, and we decided to kill the gorilla
instead of the kid.
Yeah.
I mean, we should have killed the parents.
Yes. Yep.
Letting it happen.
Well, and the kid, what was it? The mom, the parent, she ran a daycare. Oh.
Wait, what?
What? I swear that's
the
story.
The daycare mom?
But I swear she ran a daycare. Everyone's like, are you serious? Oh, your kid got in a gorilla pit.
That's bad for business. That's how they
That is the worst advertising I've ever seen in my life.
They say there's no such thing as bad press. We found the one.
There is. Oh, gosh.
Have you seen the prices for that kind of stuff?
It's wild.
To have you drop your kid off or while you go work? What do they call it? Daycare?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like $8,000 a month or something.
Okay, so
crazy.
They changed it. It used to be daycare. It used to be whatever. Then it turned into preschool.
Yeah.
And now they call it something else. It's like pre-K, something or other, something education.
Early education.
They
enrollment.
Don't do anything different.
No, of course not.
No.
But they found a way to upcharge. Good for them.
Yeah.
You change the words and
everything is all
better.
About that. Change the words and it's... You can do all kinds of wonderful things.
So how was it at the ACM Awards when you got to go on stage and present?
Okay, here's the backstory of what really happened. It was incredible. It was a great show. They really did put on a great show. We were at the Star, and the place where we were going to do our announcement was actually in the crowd. So we did the practice the day before. We knew where we were going. Everything is fine. The lady comes to get us, and she pulls us over. And what they didn't account for is in the aisle, everyone is talking to each other, and everyone is standing up. And also at the ACMs, they bring out beer and wine to everyone sitting in the front rows so they don't get up and leave. So there are ushers That's walking smart. Around with trays going, beer, wine, beer. So there's liquid around, crazy people, everyone's talking. And we're standing there. They can't get the camera to us. The camera is trying to get through, and they say 15 seconds, and the camera's not even there.
No.
And so we're looking at each other like, well, what's going to happen now? Because we're live. By the time it got to us, I look, and the teleprompter is off. And so I said to the lady that was there, I was like, teleprompter's off, teleprompter's off, teleprompter's off. Hello, hello, teleprompter's off. Because we don't have a script. We have all these things we have to say. They've told us it's going to be in the prompter. So she reaches up, and I swear to you, she hit the button, and it went, you know, the old school blue screens that you would have, like, on a laptop, and it's like next gen is floating across the screen, and I'm like, oh, well, this is going to be bad. So I've just made it up in my head that I'm going to ad-lib everything. And as soon as I said hello, the prompter kicked on.
Oh, wow.
And Amber had the script in her hand, and you can see at the very beginning of it, she just throws it on the floor really quick. It's like gets rid of it. So it was really stressful, but it turned out great. It was great.
That's awful.
It was just one of those moments that you're like, well, this isn't going to go the way that we practiced. Everything has kind of gone to hell in a handbasket. We'll make the best of it.
Yeah, I hate that kind of stuff, man.
I love it. For some reason, that kind of adrenaline rush is really like my alley. I like that. I like it when thing is just
off a little bit.
It could go really good. It could go really wrong, and we're just going to see what happens.
Yeah, there's an energy that comes with doing that stuff live, mm-hmm. especially when it's like kind of chaotic. Bubba hates it.
You do?
Yeah,
do I?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
He's like, is there a script? Where's the script?
Well, I did news for so long, so when there was a breaking news or, you know, like crazy weather or something like that, there's a rush to that I don't think you ever lose. That's the adrenaline junkie part.
Man, I can't stand TV people. Why do they talk so weird?
What are you talking about, Big Dave?
Why do they do that? Why?
And they all
try to teach you that at school.
They teach you the downspeak. They're doing it. Yeah, why are they doing it?
I don't know. It was that Midwestern, like, you don't have an accent. You sound
it's not an accent. It's this, now back to you, Big Dave.
Yeah. It's the cadence and the wave and flow.
I never did that. I can honestly say I never talked like that.
And also ending every sentence with whoever's going to talk next, Carson.
Yes.
The other issue that we have, that you are one of the few that doesn't, when you were doing television, that we're trying to make everybody in news have a personality. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the thing is, Kelly actually has one and is an enjoyable person. Yeah. But when you watch a lot of, and I go back and I blame the Today Show because we decided to make television anchors have personalities. And it worked with Matt Lauer and Katie Couric. And then subsequently, not everybody's funny. Not everybody has timing. There are people you just watch and you go, just shut up. Just shut up and give me the weather.
Put this guy on. He played football.
Right. But like Kelly can riff with literally anyone and she's a delight, which is why she's a unicorn. But most of your peers, not so much.
You're very sweet. Thank you. Well, you know, here's the thing. Here's what we're learning, I think. First of all, TV news is really in trouble. Like, people don't watch TV news because everything that you want, you can get on your phone and you get it immediately when you wake up. So why would I tune in? Mm-hmm. So it's really going through an evolution right now. And I have so many friends that are in the industry that are trying to get out. Like, they don't want to do this anymore because it's just so much work and the pay isn't there anymore because the revenue is not there, blah, blah, blah. But the interesting thing is, people that once did the news are now starting their own shows on YouTube or Instagram Live or, you know, TikTok, and they're having great success because you trust them already. So these like former news anchors are kind of doing their own thing and it's fun to watch. You're like, mm-hmm. Now the handcuffs are off of you because you're not emboldened or, you know, held to a certain standard because you're not with NBC or Fox or whatever. Now you're doing your own thing, but I still trust you to know what's going on in the world. And that's where I'm seeing like this really cool, it's like starting to level out.
Well, have you seen the new AI stuff, the new Google video stuff? So like,
terrifying.
In a year, like, why do we even need them at all?
But here's what I will say. I think, how many times have you put something in ChatGPT or whatever and you found an error?
Because
all the time, right? So I do think that the pendulum will swing back to where people that are already a trusted name or already have that kind of built up, I think people will start to go, well, I don't know if that's real. I don't know if that's real. But I watched her, so I believe what she's saying.
I think it's real.
Yeah, but I was going to say, but during the Olympics, was it Al Michaels? It wasn't even really Al Michaels.
That's scary.
I mean, so...
Do you know about that?
No.
Okay, so Al Michaels, you know him.
Yeah.
Okay, so they went and got all of his audio, hours of audio that he of him speaking and whatnot, and so they got it down. And then, you know, the little scroller at the bottom of the screen where it like says, you know, Smith, golden high dive, and it goes to the next one. It was taking that information from a computer and sending it through AI and having him read it and him adding his things into it. Like, and in, and adding those little things like that, what I just did. And then all it gets added in and then just goes into the material, the information.
So they're doing real live time.
It was
update.
All in real time. Yep.
Oh, gosh, that's really scary. Well, and the scary thing
you
is,
couldn't tell.
I'll play a little clip. Okay. I don't know how much trouble I'll get in for this, but.
Okay, great.
Ty Kelly, welcome to your daily Olympic.
You're supposed to say thank you.
But this is Ty.
Ty.
Oops. Recap, your personal rundown of yesterday's most thrilling Olympic moments.
That's not really him.
That's really
And then it
scary,
did
yeah.
it did the recaps every day.
Yeah.
Oh. No one knew. How much did he get paid for that?
The weird thing is he's still alive.
Yeah, I know. That's what
so,
I'm saying.
So he was able to cash in on this and not have to lift a finger.
Yeah, he said he was glad to do it because he didn't have to go to Paris.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. That's really scary.
But did you see, conversely, making the rounds 2 weeks ago, some radio station was doing a Memorial Day concert.
Oh, I saw this! And they did an AI-generated promo for it, and it was horrible.
It was terrible. It was the guy's face because it was video. And it was so clunky and so bad. And they put it out like, yeah, this absolutely works. And people just destroyed it.
Do you think they did that for on purpose to put out the bad thing?
I don't think it was on purpose.
Because if we did it, it would be on purpose.
Yeah, this was this I felt was they were trying to promote some concert at a beach or something. And I think it was like a bunch of cover bands. So it
right.
was. It was about as bare budget as you were going to get. So they were like, well, just throw our dude's headshot on there. So they just put the guy's image and had him talking to come see.
Make your photos come alive.
Yeah. So that's the thing. You have Al Michaels, who other than the tie part.
Yeah.
That was pretty. That was you would have fooled me. This guy. No. I mean, it was a shame. So we're still in that. We have a gap. We have a gap where we can.
So how do we trademark all of our voices and faces?
You just do. I mean, so Dee and I actually own our voices.
You do?
Yeah.
You're going to have to show me how to do that. Not that anybody wants mine, but I mean, just in case.
But it's your intellectual property and all that. Yeah. So we had to fight for that. And we fought for it 20-something years ago. So oddly enough, these dumb kids made a really good choice by accident. And so we got it. And so, yeah, we... It was a sticking point.
Yeah.
But luckily it paid off because in the future, I mean, it held up contract negotiations by 6 months.
Yep.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Really?
But it was something we're like, oh, no, we want to own all of our everything. So all of our likenesses. Yeah. Voice.
And the other thing is, what are they going to do with it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a mean thing to do. To try and hold that from
that's
us.
It. They're owning it to sit on it. Yeah,
right. And that's just a mean thing, you know. Yeah. So
I've always said, I'm like, you know, one day when we retire, you could turn on like whatever channel on the radio, and it could be old stuff of us. We own it all.
What's the Temu version? Like, what is it? It would be like
Little D,
Big G, and Bob, Boo. Or something. And then it's
what's
just
the, what's that? Kids will call us and go, off. I listen to. Oh, is it BMW? It's something in BMW.
Yeah.
Big D and BMW.
Yeah, little kids call us all kinds of fun things.
That's awesome.
And getting named after, or people naming their livestock us was always good.
Oh, see, that's flattering. They love that. They love you.
It's always like cows and pigs.
I did have somebody call me one day and ask if it was okay if they named their daughter Carson.
Oh.
And they said, we really like your name. I go, cool, because it's fake. Yeah. You guys can have the real one.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, it was sweet.
The best move is for you to say no.
It's trademarked.
No, you can't.
What are they going to do about it?
Send you a bill.
Can't do that.
You have to pay for it all the time.
I'll be watching too.
I got my Google alert set.
I've got your number now. It popped up on caller ID. I'll check in on you.
Yeah. So you went to the rodeo last night. Reba played at Bridgestone in Nashville.
Mm-hmm. It was.
I saw you got a T-shirt out of it.
I did.
Did you buy it? Or they said give it to you.
I bought this.
Oh,
with
wow!
My own hard U.S. dollars.
Oh, that's the old school shirt.
It's really cool. They did like a throwback merch. So it's a 1994 like reprint of Reba. So think Reba, big red hair, which of course I was drawn to. I do have another shirt that says Nashville's first rodeo. That was pretty cool that they gave me.
That's cool.
But yeah, it was great. I mean, I don't know how many rodeos you've been to, I've been to a couple. I'd never sat that close before. And we were like three rows away from the chute. And watching the bulls come out of the chute, I really had a moment where I was like, if he doesn't want to stay in this ring, he's going to be in my lap. That thing is massive.
Have you seen the videos where sometimes the bulls get out? And you're like, oh.
Yes.
Carson's over here going,
yeah. Those are my favorite.
I literally was having that moment like, I don't know if I should be this close. This feels very
chaos, man.
Very crazy and a little scary. But it was really cool. And then they had the stage suspended above the arena, and then when the when the bull riding was over, the stage was lowered down into the dirt, and then Reba came out and did her show.
Like instantly?
It took about an hour. It was like an hour turnover.
Okay, I was going to say, like if it was instant and everything was pre-wired, that would have been like super dope.
And she would have been riding it down like a cloud.
Yes!
That's really what
I was
hoping.
And they could have had like lights, and it could have been looking like a spaceship landing.
That would have been the move. They didn't do that, but they did. And
losers.
They also allowing everybody to go into the dirt. Like if you had a certain wristband, you could go watch it in the dirt. And I was like, I don't want to get in that dirt. I just saw what was in that dirt and you didn't clean it.
Yeah,
like,
right.
That's not just dirt.
That's why you wear boots. You don't get dressed up to go to the rodeo.
I had on boots, but they were sparkly. Just wasn't.
Tonight is McGraw, right?
Wasn't the vibe. No, tonight's Jelly Roll, and then tomorrow night's McGraw.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
yeah.
And I think
cool.
Tonight's sold out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's gonna be really cool. It's fun to watch it. It's cool that it's happening. Like as you walk up, there are horses all around Bridgestone Arena walking down Broadway, and it's just a cool vibe.
Yeah. I thought they were gonna. You remember they were doing the Grand Prix, and they were going to run down Broadway. They were going to race down Broadway, and then they stopped that.
They had to move it because of there was construction or something that was happening. So they had to
was
move
it construction
it
for the stadium?
I don't think it was stadium construction.
No, originally, it was going to run down Broadway. They moved it for something. I don't know.
It went down to Mumbrian, didn't it?
Yeah, and they moved it to Korean War veterans.
Korean. Okay.
So they did that
to go across the bridge.
But it was cool because it included the bridge,
and it was the only race that ever went over a bridge. Yeah.
Yes, and every time they would come off the bridge, the cars would bottom out. So there was always like that sketch moment of, are these guys going to bottom out, and is it going to cause some kind of issue or whatever? But it was cool. But right now they've had to move the race out to the Super Speedway because they're building the new stadium and whatever. And speedways are cool.
Yeah.
But I love the in-the-city stuff.
Yeah.
The Cracker Barrel 400's there this weekend.
Yep.
So, yeah, we had Brian Blaney come on and talk to us.
From Speedway?
And he's NASCAR driver. We were just talking about, you know, all the things. And he's like, yeah, the thing about Nashville is that track, he said, it's not super forgiving. So there's usually a lot of bumps and bruises that come along with it. So we'll see what happens this weekend.
Yeah, I remember when they built it, I was kind of like, why is this way out of here? It's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Probably because it was cheap land.
Yeah.
And you need a lot of land to be able to build a super speedway. So you build it out there, and then, you know, it's close enough to where everybody from the city can drive there, and that's why.
Have y'all done a ride-along?
No.
You can't fit in the car.
Would you do it?
You have to climb through the window.
I'm not doing that.
Okay. I just wondered.
Have you?
I did IndyCar. I did an IndyCar with one of the Andretti's. It was like a two-seater, but it's front and back two-seater.
Yeah.
Back when they were still doing those races out at the Super Speedway.
Yeah.
And that was amazing and terrifying because literally you're going on the straightaway and then the wall is right in front of you and you bank.
I know.
And then you're straight. And that straightaway seems like it's so far until you're in the car. And then you're like, that was 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then we're turning again.
Something about going 200 miles an hour that
Something
makes things
it.
Really happen fast.
Yeah.
Have you done Blue Angels?
Yes. I've done a lot of crazy things.
Yeah, because you're small.
Yeah.
We couldn't do it.
Hi, I'm cute and small. Guess what I get to do? Everything.
Yeah, we were asked. No, we were invited to fly with the Thunderbirds.
Yeah,
with the
yeah,
Blue Angels.
Yeah.
We were invited to do tandem skydiving thing with the U.S. Navy something or other demonstration
Golden
team.
Yeah.
The Golden Knights. Yeah. Guess what? We've done none of it. None. Because there are weight limits.
So when they offered the tandem skydive.
Yeah.
To you two. You two together? Or?
They didn't know that they would have to use.
Okay, they just knew the brand. They just knew the name.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
They didn't know that
they're
you
like,
would
oh
have.
Oh my God, you guys are really big.
Well, it's okay. Jeez. We have a parachute that we could drop a Humvee from. So, I mean, you know.
It's like, we're not going to get to do this until the C-130s start doing their own acrobatics.
That's the only one that I haven't
they
done.
They offered that to the last time we were offered a ride along or a fly along with the Blue Angels. They said, you know, okay, how tall? How big? Well, you could ride in,
Big Albert, Fat Albert.
You could ride in Fat Albert. Uh-huh. I'm like, I don't want to ride in Fat Albert.
Oh, it's like elementary school all over again.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, this is the story. I was still doing news when I was in Evansville, Indiana at WEVV. And somebody walked in our newsroom and just said, who wants to fly with the Blue Angels? And no one raised their hand. And I was like, I'll do it. And they were like, okay, great. I didn't know what that was at the time. I had no clue what I had just volunteered for.
Oh, you didn't even know it was an airplane?
I knew it was. They said fly, so I figured it was going to be an airplane. But I had zero.
You didn't know what they did, how they did any of that?
I was such a novice.
Do you have it on video?
Novice. Yeah.
Did you puke?
No.
Did you pass out?
No, but I tunneled out. So I went blind. Yeah. I couldn't see anything, but I was still awake. It was
you think you were
crazy.
Awake. You were sleeping.
No, I mean, it was the craziest experience. But I went home and I told my husband, I said, I volunteered to fly with the Blue Angels. And he's like, do you know what you just signed up for? And I said, no. And so he showed me a video and I was like, oh, God, how do I get out of this? But it was too late at that point. But no, it was incredible. And I'm so, so glad that I got a chance to do it. It was really terrifying, but also exhilarating.
And the guy, when the pilot walked out, looks like Captain America.
Totally didn't. No sweat. I came out looking like someone had done the ice bucket challenge. Like I was covered in sweat, looked kind of green, like I might throw up at any second. And I'm smiling in this sad, sad little, you know, here I am. He had no beads of sweat on him at all. Literally crisp uniform and hat. Just hair was perfect.
Yeah.
My favorite is whenever they pass out. And then the pilot is just waiting, and you know they hear him snore,
right?
And then all of a sudden, when they stop, they go, "And welcome back."
He said, "Are you with me?" And I said, "Yeah, but I can't see anything." And he's like, "It'll come back." And I'm like, "Please tell me it will, because this is terrifying." The worst part was you had the microphone and you had a helmet on, and at one point, I somehow unhooked the microphone, and I had a panic attack that I've just broken this very expensive piece of something. And so the end of the video is just video of me trying to figure out how to get the microphone attached to the helmet again because I thought I was going to have to pay for it.
But I think you get...
it's great.
You paid for it already.
I sure did.
Many times over. I think you get one chance to do that.
Yeah.
And media, they get one in your lifetime.
Yeah, that you sign a book, and then if your name's in the book, you don't get to do it again.
Yeah, you know whose name's not in that book?
Ours.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
You know what I also love? I love that Big D has the ultimate get-out-of-jail card. What do you say all the time?
Oh, I'm too tall.
Yeah, he's too tall.
Okay. I am too tall.
I don't get that. I don't get to say I'm too tall.
I'm also too fat, wide, whatever you call it. I'm all that too. But the same thing you did earlier. You're like, I mean, you're a big guy. I mean, you're tall. That's what all girls do that all the time to me.
You are tall.
I got it. But I got it. But I'm also fat. And it's a thing where they like you go, oh, you know, you're a big guy. I mean, yeah, I mean, you're so tall. And I'm like, I got it. You girls don't have to do that. I'm not a girl. I'm fine. I'm a big boy. I can take it.
Listen, I will tell you, if there's one thing that I did that if you ever get offered, it's a hard pass, is to fly in the Goodyear blimp. Have you done that?
No.
Is it slow?
It is literally the worst thing I think I've ever done, because not only is it slow, but it is a constant. You think that it's just kind of maybe an up and down, but it is like almost being on a boat. And you're moving the entire time. So it rolls. So you're going left and right and dipping and up and left and right.
Oh, yeah. It's a balloon.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we were trying to fly from, I don't remember where we were. I was doing something with the Titans. And we were trying to fly to the stadium. And we got halfway there. And I looked at him and I'm like, we're going back. And he said, really? And I was like, I cannot do this anymore. It was the worst feeling of being seasick in the air, and it moves at a glacial speed, so you're just
see,
up there
I've
like,
done
get
hot air
out
I've,
of here
I've done the hot air balloon thing and I didn't experience any of that way,
right?
But the blimp, it rolls around and pitches and yaws.
And it wasn't great weather, so that probably was part of it. But, oh, no, just hard pass. Yeah.
Carson loves to fly.
Yeah, I'm like, couldn't get me in any of this. My gosh. I'd be like, nope, I'll drive and follow you. That's fine.
See?
I'll film you from below. There you are.
I don't do it anymore. I think I got older and wiser. This was all when I was a young
Good for you, man.
I don't do any of that anymore.
Can't go any longer without saying that Kelly is the first female host of the Grand Ole Opry.
Thank you.
In the history of the Opry.
Thank you. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And it's very cool. I remember I was listening to your first night.
I know, you texted me.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool.
I was terrified.
That's bad.
That one was really, like, I don't want to go back and listen to that air check because I know that was rough.
No, it was great. No,
it
sounded good.
It was scary. That's one of those where you're like, this is the longest running radio show in history, and they just put me in charge of it? Oh, God.
And you're going to London.
Yeah, we are.
Isn't that crazy?
That's
so exciting.
It's really cool. So this is our 100th year of being on the air, and we are taking the show overseas for the very first time. This will be the first international broadcast of the Grand Ole Opry in September. We're at Royal Albert Hall. It's incredible lineup. Luke Combs, Ashley McBride, Carly Pierce, Darius Rucker, and Marty Stewart. And then we have some UK artists that are going to be in the mix. But it sold out in like 3 minutes. So
why is country music? Because there are so many international listeners to our show.
Mm-hmm.
Why is country music such an attractive thing to people from Great Britain or even any other European country?
Don't you think it's because that's where it started? I mean, if you think about it and you listen to like Irish folk music or even some of the folk music, that's really kind of where
bluegrass was the Scottish.
Sure.
So
it's some of that instrumentation, but I think a lot of it is just it's authentic. People love something that's real to them. I mean, you know, it's fun to dance to pop music. It's fun to listen to, you know, like stuff in your car when you're trying to get excited. If you've got on, you know, pop or whatever. But if you just really want real live music where you feel like you're connected to somebody, you can't beat country. I mean, country is the genre that speaks to people.
Although lately I have seen a lot of people doing less live in their shows.
Yeah.
And it's kind of irking me.
Yeah.
Because country music is the last bastion of real.
Yeah.
And what do you mean?
The playing the tracks and doing the lip syncing and all of that stuff is... Look, I get it. You're trying to make your show bigger and better and whatever, but country, we were born in bars.
Yeah.
You know, this is where it's honky tonks. It's like where you go and things don't always go great and it's not always perfect. I just think sometimes we worry too much about presentation than being real about it.
I think that truly to the UK audience, from what I understand, they just listen differently. Everybody that goes over there is like, oh, it's so different because they really lean in and listen to the lyrics so much so that sometimes it's too quiet and they're like, oh, they hate this. They're hating my set. And then at the end, everyone applauds and is loving it, but they're really trying to take it in. And I do know now the thing that's really interesting with it catching fire over there, they have their own chart. So I am now, because I get to do a show with Absolute Radio Country called the Nashville Show, and it's on the weekends. It's through the week and then also on the weekends over there. But they'll send me the UK charts, and the UK charts and our charts are completely different. The songs that are taking off over there, like, they are so far ahead of us with some of the songs. Like, some of the stuff from Morgan's new album. Yeah, some of the stuff from Morgan's new album already at number one. It hasn't even been released here.
Yeah, but that's kind of the same here, though. Morgan is number one. What is he?
One through seven.
One through ten, I thought, the other day. It was like, he is the top ten.
Right. But it is fascinating stuff that wasn't released here as a single has gone to number one over there. So, yeah, their charts are different, but it is fun to watch what they are loving versus what we are loving. So there is a little bit of a difference, but they love country, that's for sure.
When are you going over there?
September.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Do you remember?
I know. It is the 21st night of September is when I fly out.
What?
Uh-huh. I know. I was very excited when I booked the ticket. I was singing that in my head. So.
How do people find you?
Well, do you want me to give my address? Because I live by you.
She's right there in front of you.
But I want to ask her about one thing, because the Opry 100 show that was on NBC, a very special moment happened right in front of Kelly.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Oh, yeah,
right?
That's right. Yeah,
yeah, what happened? Carrie Underwood was on stage doing a tribute to Randy Travis, and somehow my seat was right behind Randy Travis. So when Carrie came down and gave him a hug at the end of that, you can see me trying not to cry, standing mm-hmm. behind them, looking awkwardly and clapping like, oh, this is great, but also I don't want to cry. The crazy thing was Carrie hugged him and her face went behind his head. And I looked at her face and she's starting to cry. Aww. And then I'm like, okay, now I'm really going to cry because Carrie's crying. Mm-hmm. But then also there's that camera that's staring at me. Yeah. So, yeah, but it was really special.
I bet your phone blew up.
It did. It was funny. It was like, did I just see you like staring awkwardly at Carrie Underwood's face? Yes, that was me.
Sure was.
I sure was. My moment of fame. It was great.
Well, we love you.
Thank you
for coming in and doing this.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Plug your podcast.
Yes,
stuff.
I got to tell everybody. Well, first of all, Y'all Access.
Y'all Access.
Y'all helped me start Y'all Access.
That's the best show.
It's so fun. It's so fun.
It really is. Y'all do such a good job on that show.
Thank you. Thank you.
And it's also still a wonderful name.
Yes, the best name.
You know, how was there never a Y'all Access before?
So Brothers Osborne said that.
That was it. John Osborne tweeted it, and I immediately got the trademark. And I've told him many times. I'm like, dude, I owe you for this. But yeah, Y'all Access with Kelly Sutton. We're over 50 affiliates now, which is amazing. On the weekends, we kind of do a wrap up of all the fun things that are happening in Nashville, and then I have a podcast. It's called Country Heat Weekly. It's on Amazon Music, and we drop new episodes every Thursday. And I host the Opry on Tuesday nights and other nights. And
WSMAM.
And I do
mornings.
WSM in the mornings.
And now we know why you're married, because he never sees you.
That's right.
And you guys can never fight.
That's
because
true.
You're never around each other.
25 blessed years. We've seen each other probably 7 out of the 5. So, yeah. But it's really fun. But thanks for having
you
me.
You want to hear the best AI song jingle ever made?
Yes.
Oh, here we go.
Don't forget we have the Jason thing coming up too.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day.
Here's where I come in.
It was the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
It's pretty great, isn't it?
I kind of dig
D
it.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast. The Big D
just says it over and over.
Weekly Podcast.
Where are you guys making this?
We can't tell you.
Computer
that.
World.
Garage. Garage band. Jason Aldean is in the studio with us. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good, man. We're excited. This new album, Jason's tribute to ABBA, back from Sweden. It's called Jason's Dancing Dream.
Papa Pia.
Yeah.
And,
it's going to be great.
I can't wait. Who all have you tapped to be a part of the ABBA tribute album?
You know.
It's kind of the obvious.
So many
ones.
People. You know what I mean?
I think you could get ABBA to come out of retirement. I mean, they've got to be like 80 something now, but that would be great.
Dude, if you brought ABBA out
broken
on stage.
Broken hip.
Day.
Da, da, da.
Just get the holograms.
I mean,
there you go.
Dude, what are your thoughts on the holograms? Like, you know, bringing back Jason Aldean one day when you call it quits.
I don't know. There's a part of me that thinks it's kind of cool, you know. It's like I never got to see Elvis. I kind of think it'd be cool to go and just thing pop of Elvis, like in my mind. I know it's not real, but it's like, man, it was probably kind of like this, you know.
I want to see the Elvis one.
So, you know, I don't know. I think if it's done right, I think it could be cool. I think it's like anything these days. It's like, I think I just worry about it not being done right or used in the right way to where it's like kind of diminishes whatever you did, you know, in your career or something. So, but I think there's part of it that's cool.
When you go into like touring mode, like off season, I guess, do they come to you with like ideas like, all right, look at this. We can shoot you out of a cannon and catch you in this net across this stadium.
Well, that would be cool, actually.
I don't know, is there like a convention for concert gadgets?
No, I mean, I think we just kind of bounce ideas. I mean, we're constantly sort of bouncing ideas around.
But isn't there like an industry for that? There has to be.
I mean, like people that create all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure. You know, but we had this one thing one time where I started out like in the rafters and I was like on this thing that lowered down, and I would be up there, and that thing would be rocking back. This sucks. No. We did it. We spent all this money on this thing, and I used it for like 2 weeks, and I was like, the hell with this thing, man.
Did it feel like it was going to give out?
It was just weird. Like before the show starting, and I'm already like, getting nauseous up there. Things
and don't they have
around.
You all tied up to that too?
Oh,
that
yeah.
You're in these harnesses because I mean this is a commodity right there.
Yeah,
so
can't lose. Don't lose Jason.
Don't lose him.
Do you have like a do you have like a code word like the president has? Do you have like a like all right, hey, I'm moving. I'm on the run. I'm on the roll with and then whatever your mudslinger or whatever your name is.
I don't know. The guys might have one.
You may not want to know.
It's probably my code word would be something I probably couldn't tell you guys on air. But
right. All right, Jason Aldean, joining us. Guess what his website is? That's right. dude,
take a stab at it,
dude. What's up? You got the Brooks and Dunn lid on?
Yeah, man.
Ready, huh?
I just went to. I was in Charlotte probably about a month or so ago visiting my in-laws and all that stuff. And so B&D just happened to be in town playing a show that night, and so we went out to the show.
Did you say B&D?
B&D, yeah.
All right, I'm going to pick that up now, yeah.
So they were playing a show in town, and I went out, jumped on stage with them, played a little bit, and grabbed a couple hats, stole a couple hats from the merch stand. And,
Have you ever secretly gone to a show, and did the whole, where you put on a disguise or whatever? Because you see people, going through the airports, they'll have a hoodie on, and their hat pulled down real low, and they're trying to be all incognito, yet their person is behind them carrying their guitar, and you're like, man, you're not fooling anybody.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think the incognito stuff is kind of gets weird. I mean,
you get
I always
prosthetic nose and stuff.
Yeah, no, I've never gone that route. But I'll throw on a baseball cap and sunglasses, which I wear all the time anyway. So that's about the extent of it for me.
This show, the co-headlining with Fenway with Brooks and Dunn. I mean B&D. You guys have you think about all the songs that they have and all the songs that you have. Are you
you're
guys
going to be able to play every?
Yeah. What time does that show start? Like one?
You're going to get every song in, are you?
No, I mean obviously not. But I think that's the cool thing about where we are in our career and those guys too. I mean, you at some point you reach this place where you got enough hits to, you're not playing album cuts or deep cuts or whatever. You're playing hit after hit after hit. And, you reach a point where you're never going to get all those things in the show on a night, mm-hmm. So this year we'll play some things that we didn't play last year, and we'll take a couple things out that we were playing last year and, kind of swap them around and, just try and make, the best show we think. But, I mean, I feel like when fans come out to a show, they want to hear songs they know, right?
Yeah,
they don't wanna hear
you have to play Dancing Queen. You have to play.
I feel like you're a closet ABBA fan.
Dude,
you got posters and everything at your house.
I'm not a closet fan. I'm a huge fan.
You are out of the closet fan.
Out and proud.
I'm out and proud, Jason. Tell everyone you know. Also, you're playing Fenway Park. Have you ever seen a game there?
I have, yeah. I think I did the national anthem there one time, maybe back in the day. I can't remember. I've done it at a few parks, but definitely gone to watch games there and I don't know. I'm a huge baseball fan,
you played a lot of times.
That's a historic park for sure.
Do you get into the cage at all? You swing any?
Yeah. I've hit in the cage at Fenway and
Have?
Yeah.
With those guys watching?
I have, yeah.
Oh, that would drive me nuts. It would be like me doing karaoke in front of Jason Aldean.
Oh gosh.
They love to tell you who's sucks when they get there too. You'll never know who's the worst hitter. I think one of the guys, my buddy Adam Dunn, he used to play for the Reds, and I went and was taking BP out there one day. He did that or the Nationals, and he was like, "Man, the worst guy to ever come and take BP was LeBron James." I was like, "Really?
Yeah, really?
A guy that's that good of an athlete can hit a ball? It's crazy."
Do you have a cage at the house?
No.
Oh no.
Mm-mm. I have a. Like a golf simulator that also can hit balls on it. So
Kane
you can put
said
it,
he has one. His girl takes lessons on it.
Yeah, I could put the tee and let Memphis or Navy hit off the tee, and it's like a field, and it kind of the simulator turns into a baseball thing too. So
you can take hits. You can hit.
Yeah, you can swing some cuts on it. But I use it as a golf simulator most of the time. But it has some other things, and you can do like a baseball field and
yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Thing, so. Yeah, the coolest thing I've done was the win that baseball simulator where you get in the VR and then
Oh,
it's pretty cool. Step in basically against any major league pitcher that you want.
And when you put the VR rig on, it looks like you're at a real field, and the person pitching looks like a their video. They don't look like a cartoon.
Like if you watch a video clip on YouTube, it's going to look dopey. It's not going to look right. If you've used VR, you know it's totally different. So yeah, it's very immersive, and it's pretty cool.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, you should get into that.
I need to get Memphis onto that. He's playing baseball. I'm like, here, practice. Here's a V, and he loves games too. So it's like, put that thing on.
A lot of teams use it actually as a training aid. So if you've got a guy who's 6'7", throwing 98 miles an hour, left handed, you get to go up again. You can set it up like that, and you get to go up against that pitcher and kind of get used to him before the game.
Oh, that's right. What's it called?
Win Reality or something like that. I'll find it. I'll give it to you.
Cool.
Before you go, can you hold your right hand up and say, Jason Aldean, promise, Big D, that I will have an ABBA tribute band at my bar before the year's up.
Which one? He's got four locations.
You have four locations?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do. But I don't know about the ABBA.
Oh, come on. Dude, it would be huge. You don't even know the power of ABBA.
Well, I feel like I would run a lot of people out of my bar, and they'd be like, what in the hell is happening?
And you would do it for Big D, who would never show up.
Yeah, D would be at the bar, the only person having fun.
You could open up one in Sweden and call it Jason Aberdeen.
See, now we're talking.
Now it's like this combo
thing.
Now it's worldwide, all the
way around.
And you have a place to hang in Sweden.
That's right. Jason Aldean, everyone, you can check him out online on his website, which is jasonaldean.com. Who knew? I know.
JasonAberdean.com.
Good to see you, brother. Thank you.
Good to see you guys, man.